This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, July 13th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, you'll get the inside scoop on Boulder's new e-bike rebate program. We'll also introduce KGNU's new climate and environment reporter, who just started with us as a Report for America Corps member. Then, Radio Nibbles host John Lindorf will be in the studio with a guest to serve us a slice of local food news. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's Black Talk. This month, host Michelle Simpson speaks with CU Regent and cannabis entrepreneur Wanda James. Then at 9:30, Roger Hera will be in the Denver studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still coming up, but first, it's time for the headlines with KGNU's Yvonne Olivas.
Colorado lawmakers introduced a federal bill to help farmers and ranchers have easier access to mental health. Democratic Representatives Joe Neguse and Brittany Peterson co-sponsored the legislation, which is modeled after a successful Colorado program. In a press release, the representatives said the volatility of extreme weather events and its effects on the financial stability of weather-dependent operations has led to depression, anxiety, and substance use disorders in farmers and ranchers throughout the nation. They added that the proposed Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network program is designed to break through the stigma of mental health care. If passed, the bill would include a feasibility study to connect mental health care providers with agricultural families for a series of reimbursable sessions. Three-term Denver Mayor Michael Hancock delivered his farewell address yesterday. KGNU's Ryan Bigham has more.
In his speech, outgoing Mayor Michael Hancock addressed Denverites and reminisced on several accomplishments his administration has had in his 12 years in office. Mayor Hancock trumpeted progress made towards affordable housing, law enforcement reform, and climate change legislation, among other highlights of his tenure. Stressing hope for the future, Mayor Hancock said he looked forward to Mayor-elect Mike Johnston's term and that he believed Denver was heading in the right direction.
And I have full confidence that Mayor-elect Mike Johnston will achieve great things with all of you, with all of us, for our beloved city.
Mayor Michael Hancock's term comes to an end with Mike Johnston's inauguration on July 17th. For KGNU, I'm Ryan Bigham.
First responders searched Boulder Creek early Wednesday morning after receiving a call that a woman camping nearby had fallen into the water. After a police officer spotted the woman in the creek, firefighters helped pull her out from the north bank near 6th and Canyon. First responders administered CPR and transported her to the hospital where she was pronounced dead. The Boulder County coroner has not yet publicly identified the woman. Three bodies were found around a campsite in Gunnison County this weekend. KGNU's Jacob Agatson has more.
A hiker found the first body near Gold Creek Campground in Gunnison County on Sunday evening. Investigators discovered two more Monday morning. The Gunnison County Sheriff's Department said that all three bodies were in an advanced state of decomposition. Undersheriff Josh Ash said the three people appeared to have been living in a tent at the site for a prolonged period of time and that the bodies may have wintered there, but he believes the people died within the year. Ash said autopsies are pending, but no evidence suggests foul play. For KGNU, I'm Jacob Agatston.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials killed a bear in Boulder Wednesday that had repeatedly shown little fear of people and a high interest in trash. Emily Sosilo has more.
Officials began receiving reports about the bear in June when it was getting into garbage in South Boulder. Colorado and Boulder authorities ear-tagged and relocated the bear into a remote habitat, but it returned a few weeks later. Multiple attempts by officials to haze the bear with pepper spray and tasers did not work. The bear charged at officers after a taser deployment and ran away only after being shot at by a rubber bullet. On Wednesday morning, the tagged bear was spotted in a tree near 16th Street and Baseline Road. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officers decided to euthanize the bear, noting that its daytime foraging in the city was unusual and a threat to human safety. They said the bear, an 18-month-old female, was too young to have had cubs. For KGNU, I'm Emily Sosilo.
Denver International Airport is continuing a pilot program that began last month that's making TSA lines go a little faster. The Den Reserve program is a partnership between the airport and Clear that allows passengers to schedule a checkpoint time with TSA before their flight. The service is free. It requires passengers to enter flight information and the number of people in their traveling party in advance online. Travelers then scan a QR code at the bridge security checkpoint when they arrive for their flight. DIA officials say the program exceeded their expectations since it began in June. Close to 5,000 people booked through Clear in the first few days, and 17 other airports in the U.S., Canada, and Europe also use the reservation system. The 27th annual Erie Hot Air Balloon Festival will start bright and early at 6 a.m. on Friday morning. Organizers rescheduled the weekend-long event from its original June dates because of rain. Weather permitting, some 24 balloons are expected for the festival, which usually attracts about 3,000 attendees per day. More information can be found on Erie's Chamber of Commerce website. The weather forecast isn't looking too shabby today. In Boulder and Denver, we'll see a high of 63 degrees with scattered clouds and a slight chance of thunderstorms. And in Fort Collins, we'll be experiencing a high of 62 degrees and a 20% chance of rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. For KGNU, I'm Yvonne Olivas.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Shannon Young. E-bike fever is raging across the Front Range, and the city of Boulder is taking note. The city has opened an online application window for e-bike vouchers following Denver's huge success with a similar program. These vouchers will cover some or all of the cost of a brand new e-bike, depending on the model of the bike and the income qualifications of the applicant. For KGNU and Report for America, Jackie Sedley has more.
It's like riding a bike wearing Superman's cape.
Ryan Balser has owned Front Range Cargo Bikes in Boulder for 12 years now. He is very passionate about e-bikes, to say the least.
Pretty interesting. I think the first 5 years I was in business, everybody would say that they were cheating. They were cheater bikes. I would dare that same person to go ride down the parking lot and not come back with a smile on their face.
After telling Balser I'd never ridden an e-bike, he thrust a helmet in my hands, and let's just say I had a good time.
Picking up speed. Yeah. I love my job.
Balser says he's personally seen how effective e-bikes can be at replacing car trips locally, even for families.
I have several customers that have sold a second car and bought a second e-bike because of how effective their first e-bike was at replacing car trips. So now I have a lot of families that are kind of viewing their car as more what they use when they go to the mountains versus what they use around town, with the exception of a couple of months in the winter.
Boulder is the latest Colorado city to start spreading the word and the wealth when it comes to e-bikes. Earlier this month, the city opened up an online application where residents can apply for an e-bike rebate. The window closes July 19th at 5 p.m., at which point the city will randomly select 200 applicants to receive vouchers that can be used at participating bike shop locations. This program involves new e-bikes, not used ones, and that's in an effort to support local bike shops, like Front Range Cargo Bikes.
Woohoo!
If there's such a thing as having too much fun on the job, I was getting close.
Thank you so much.
Awesome, no problem.
Appreciate you.
Over in Boulder's Climate Initiatives Department, Communications Manager Leah Kelleher is hopeful about this program.
The two main goals of the program are to, one, expand access to e-bikes, electric bicycles, to more of our community members. The other goal is encouraging people to use a greener, cleaner form of transportation.
The city is offering four different types of vouchers, depending on two factors: the amount of money you make and the type of e-bike you want. Low-income residents can qualify for a $1,200 voucher for a standard model or a $1,400 voucher for an e-cargo or adaptive e-bike. Those folks can receive additional assistance for safety gear. Residents earning more than 80% of the area median income can apply for a $300 voucher for a standard e-bike or $500 for an e-cargo or adaptive model. Kelleher says the city is trying to make the income eligibility paperwork as easy as possible for low-income residents.
We're going to need folks to upload an income-related document of some sort. So that could be Social Security disability insurance or old age pension or Xcel Energy's income qualified program paperwork. There's a whole list of different types of documentation you can submit.
All applicants, regardless of income, must prove residency within Boulder City limits, as funding for the program comes from a city-specific climate tax. This iteration of e-bike rebates comes after a wildly successful pilot program launched last year in Denver. Mike Salisbury works for Denver's Climate Action, Sustainability, and Resiliency Office, and he's been helping run that rebate program from the jump.
We had budgeted about $300,000. For the program in 2022, said, hey, we'll give out a few hundred of these e-bike vouchers. We'll learn a lot and we'll design the program. We'll make some tweaks. And then after the first weekend of the program launching, we'd already blown past that mark.
Salisbury says they ended up spending almost $5 million on e-bike vouchers last year alone. Fast forward a little over a year and the program is full-fledged now. They give out between 800 and 900 vouchers every other month. He says they've learned a lot since they kickstarted the program, and he's excited to see what cities like Boulder learn along the way, too.
It's just really exciting to see Boulder and other municipalities doing work like this. And hopefully, we have learned a few things, and that's allowed them to, be more mindful and thoughtful about how they design their program.
He also expects interest for the vouchers in Boulder to exceed available funding, just like what happened in Denver. Here's Kelleher again from Boulder's Climate Initiatives Department.
Denver's program inspired a lot of how we structured our program. We were really just trying to build on what Denver started and see how we could make it a better fit for our community and really our city priorities, which a big one is equity.
There are many similarities between the two programs, but Kelleher says there are also a couple key differences.
The ways in which Denver and Boulder's program differ really is centered on how we are giving out vouchers. So we are doing a random selection process instead of a first come, first serve. And a big reason why we did that, really the sole reason why we did that, is this focus on equity that we're trying to have and just recognizing that we want to give people time to be able to apply. If there's technical issues in that 2-week window, they can get help. We really wanted to prioritize folks having that time so that they could sit down, think about it, do the research, get help if they need it.
The other main alteration is the addition of starter safety gear kits for income-qualified recipients, which can include rebates for bike helmets, bike locks, child seats, and any other sort of equipment that will help people have more safe, convenient e-bike rides. Kelleher says the city is unsure how quickly the vouchers will run out, but she told me around 550 people had signed up for email alerts for the program before the portal even opened. They're set on providing 200 vouchers, evenly split between the income qualified and the standard.
It's also worth noting that we're doing two rounds of vouchers. And part of the reason why we did that is so that we can learn from this first round what's working, what the demand is for vouchers. So that proportion of vouchers, standard and income qualified, could change for the second round, and the voucher amount could change.
The city's second round of voucher giveaways will happen in September, so unlucky applicants in the first round will have a second chance later in the year. For KGNU and Report for America, I'm Jackie Sedley. Okay, fine. I'll stop with the bells now.
That was Jackie Sedley, a new reporter here at KGNU. That was her first climate and environment report. I have Jackie here in the studio. So let's formally introduce you. You, in your out cue, you said for KGNU and Report for America. Why?
Yeah, so Report for America is this national service program that connects journalists like me with local newsrooms across the country, like KGNU, and it's mainly to help out those newsrooms and encourage reporting on underrepresented issues, underrepresented voices, and keep journalism alive and well to the best of their ability.
Great. And Report for America does provide half of the compensation, so they get a byline as well. And we are thrilled to be able to have qualified for this grant. And we'll be hearing more from you in the future. Can't wait to hear more.
Yes. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you. Up next is Radio Nibbles. Indeed, it is time for Radio Nibbles, and there are some plates heaped with food. And, you know, John, take it away. Tell us what we're about to eat and who you're about to talk to.
Well, welcome to Radio Nibbles. Since we're gathered around the summer buffet table here at KGNU, of course we have to eat. And I'm going to let my guest describe what we're about to taste. Our guest today is an old friend and a big figure in Boulder food, one of the original farm-to-table chefs, Jim Smaler, who has established a reputation over the years at the Boulder Cork. He's now retired from there doing a bunch of things, and we're going to talk about that. Welcome back, Jim.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here. We've got a lot to talk about.
Well, let's start with what you brought and what we can learn about it.
Okay, what I brought today is some slow roasted tri-tip done in a Western Slope Rancho Duranzo apricot barbecue sauce. And I was talking to John earlier that I've been dabbling with tri-tip, and it's become kind of an all the rage cut of beef. Especially in California, they call it Santa Maria steak. But anyway, I'm going to go to the restaurant. I'm going to go to the Cork after this and put a couple of them on the smoker. And I've just been playing around with this cut of meat, but it's got a lot of marbling, and it's kind of fun. So you're going to enjoy that today.
And it's for folks at home. Tri-tip is one of those lesser known cuts that's more affordable. And really tasty and perfect for summer barbecue.
This is some Nyman Ranch prime, so it's got all the pedigrees, all the humane aspects, and it's just a delicious cut of beef. It's got a ton of marbling, and a lot of it. You have to give it some love because it's not a super tender cut, so it takes some cooking time. But I just saw Bobby Flay doing something with it the other day, and it was on Chopped and. So go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, I saw a picture of you the other day on social media holding a gigantic fish.
My favorite. And they're not, it was a Alaskan troll king salmon, and I've been bringing them into the Cork, and they're the love of my life, and they're an expensive fish. And that picture, you know, I take them out to the garden at the Cork and hold them. But I've been doing some specials with them at the restaurant. But
for folks at home, what's the best way to treat a piece of fish like that with respect, say on the grill?
Olive oil, salt and pepper, a little lemon juice when it comes off, and just do and leave.
And you put it directly on the on the grates?
Directly on the grates. You can leave the skin on or the skin off, depending on what profile you want, and cook it medium rare.
And probably pull it off before you think it's done, because it'll continue to cook.
A little bit. It's so mild. It's just the best fish. And Alaskan king salmon, or king salmon in general, equates to about 2% of all salmon production. So it's not easy to come by. It's a short window, and it's expensive, but it's fun.
You just came back from a visit to
Mexico.
Mexico. And You weren't concentrated so much on food, but on spirits from Mexico that are a little out of the ordinary.
forgotten spirits that sometimes they call them, but I'll do this kind of quick because, but it's really what I brought back, and I'm going to do something at the Cork with our mixologist, but some spirits, the first one called Raicilla, R-A-I-C-I-L-L-A, and it's an agave spirit, but not necessarily made with blue agave. It can be a couple different kinds, but it's very artisanally produced. The particular one that I have, the distillation column, is an old tree trunk. And this is a coastal product, and it's kind of in between a mezcal and a tequila, and it's just wonderful. But I'm going to do this cocktail, or start with it, with...
And there's some other spirit.
Bacanora, which is from Sonora. It's also an agave distillate, and this particular one was called Agua de Miel, which means honey water, and they distill that in artisanal fashions also. And a spirit called Pox, it's pronounced P-O-X, which is made with corn. And it.
So is it like bourbon?
No, it's a clear liquid. It's like liquid lightning, but it's also retains some of its nuances.
And where is that from?
Chiapas. And some other places in Mexico also produce Pox, but Chiapas is where it's famous from.
Question? No.
I was just eating this delicious
sandwich. This is remarkably delicious, and our crew of volunteers and the staff are going to enjoy something mighty tasty. So tender, so nicely flavored. I love the apricot sauce on it, and I assume it's mostly just the juices from the meat and the apricot.
And like any other barbecue sauce, it's got a little of this, a little of that in it. But I'm going to go make some more at the restaurant after I leave the studio today. But one thing I'd like to get in, John, real quick that we talked about, I've been doing some benefits, which keeps me busy with the Humane Society and also with Greenwood Wildlife. And when I do that at the Cork, I'm in there and I usually do a special too while I'm in there. So I'm still having fun with the restaurant. They're still family, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
And I would let people know that there's actually a room at the Boulder Humane Society named the Jim Smaler Room.
Yep, very proud of it.
And he's raised a tremendous amount of money for the organization. And you have a bunch of other benefits and farm dinners and things coming up. Yeah?
I have a couple with the Humane Society coming up. Yep. And I will continue to do that. I love doing it, and it gets me in the restaurant every once in a while in the evening so I can reconnect with a lot of customers.
Because there's people all over town who have gotten to know Jim over the years at the restaurant. And, you know, in the past, you've been in the kitchen cooking and, you know, stuck in there. And now, you know, when you are there, you can do what is most fun, which is talking to people.
Exactly, talking to people and still creating things and getting my hands in food.
And you're also helping out at the Cure Organic Farm Stand.
Absolutely, which is fun. I love it. I'm out there on Saturdays. I actually worked there this past Sunday too, but I'm out there from 12 o'clock until, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and Cure is really starting to get rolling. It was everybody knows that this has been a slow season because of the rain and things like that. But we've got all kinds of good stuff coming.
Couple things that are coming in and how to prepare them.
French melons from the Western Slope. Charentaise should be in so soon. The best melon. Come see me on a Saturday and you'll get the best melon you've ever had. We don't have them yet, but apricots just started coming in.
What local?
Asparagus is winding down. What are we going to get into? Summer squash is just kicking in. No tomatoes yet, you know.
A lot of squash around.
Yeah.
A lot of summer squashes coming and... What's your favorite way to make summer squash tasty?
Well, first, when you've got summer squash, you also have squash blossoms, and we had some this past Saturday, and I absolutely love squash blossoms, so that's something.
You stuff them with cheese?
Stuff them with goat cheese, a little bit of egg, whip it up, maybe a little ricotta, and you don't necessarily have to bread them and deep fry them. You can keep them simple. You can just saute them like that, tear them, put them in. I love to put them on pizza. It's one of my favorite things in the world. Make a pizza and just surround it with squash blossoms, a little sauce and cheese.
Stick them in a quesadilla.
Absolutely.
Just with like the heat. Like
quesadilla, flor de calabaza.
Exactly.
Yep. Absolutely wonderful.
And if you have a garden, you have to pick some of those blossoms if you want your other squashes to grow. You have to get rid of those. Jim, you know, we're going to have to do this again
we've got too much to talk about, as always.
You'll be back, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
Next week.
Can you really quickly tell me what's in your column this week?
I can. I went to a local cookware store. I saw the hundreds of cookbooks on the wall, and I started to wonder, do cookbooks still matter? And do people actually use the cookbooks to cook with? And the response was quite stunning. So you can read about that today in the Boulder Weekly.
Can we safely say that the best thing we've tasted lately is what we're eating right now?
Yeah. I have to say that's a wonderful thing. And if you need, well, you'll see pictures of it online, but it's really a great thing.
All right. Thank you. That's it for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host and producer, Shannon Young. Thanks to Yvonne Olivas, Benita Lee, Ryan Bigham, Jacob Agatston, Jack Armstrong, Emily Sosilo, Jackie Sedley, and John Lindor for their contributions to today's program. Also, shout out to new volunteers, Grace Gabriel and Zach Thompson, silently training here in the studio, and poor Jaijunkit, who is handling the social media. Stay tuned for Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. That's coming up just after the BBC News headlines. Lines.